Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Qur'an Hakim, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ
The Mufassirin, the commentators of the Qur'an and the pious elders with regards to this verse have stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the two forms of creation, the jinn and the human beings. And Allah has mentioned their purpose in this verse, their maqsad, because the human being, Allah Ta'ala says, the human being, his objective of coming in this world is just one, that he should remain busy and occupied in the worship of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has told us that this is our objective, our purpose. And what are we? We are insan, we are not animals. And Allah has told us this purpose and objective. So if we think for a little while that we read the Qur'an, and are we implementing this verse? Let's do justice. Just think for a moment. Allah Ta'ala, will He not ask us tomorrow that I told you that always, every second, you should be busy in my worship? And when do we do worship every second? Do we? We should think about this. So the status of a believer, of the mu'min, with regards to the Qur'an, is that he should be busy and occupied in Allah's ibadah, worship every second, every moment. But obviously there are works to be done in the world. The question arises, eating, drinking, sleeping, waking up, going out, business, wife, children, family. We have to carry out all of these tasks. But then Allah has given us the hukam that remain in ibadah all the time, in worship. So the pious predecessors have stated that, understand this point. Allah Ta'ala has given us a very big hint that every action in the life of a believer is ibadah. Say subhanallah. And we just think that a few actions are ibadah, worship. Isn't it? Coming to the masjid, we're doing ibadah, reciting Quran, this worship, going tabligh, this is ibadah. Give dawah to someone, this is ibadah. We read a book that we think this is ibadah. And just these actions are ibadah. Hajj is ibadah. But the mu'min's life is that every second of his life is ibadah. All of his actions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, every action in the day, eating, drinking, standing, sitting, sleeping, sitting with people, going, meeting, even going into the lavatory is ibadah. Wearing the shoes can be ibadah. Worship. In other words, there is no action under the sun in the life of the believer is there that it's not counted as ibadah, and it's counted as accepted ibadah. If Allah has made ibadah for us, believers, then every single action of ibadah is accepted. And it can be accepted. So let's consider how much loss are we incurring when we don't implement these actions. When we wake up in the hereafter, we'll realize. One thing we'll realize is that we think only a few actions are ibadah. And that's all we did. But there will be those mu'mins who considered every second and action of life as ibadah, worship. So they'll say that this man, he prayed salah with us, he went on dawah with us, and tabligh with us, and read the kitabs with us, he went on umrah with us. So what's this? He's got so many rewards and such a high level, and we are so low and underneath him. And the difference was this, Allah Ta'ala will say, the difference was this, that you only, you restricted yourself to just certain specific actions of worship, and I gave you your whole life as ibadah. Oh Allah, what was that? So brothers, will you implement every second as ibadah? True promise? Shall I tell you the tariqah, the method? Yes. Just like we know how to pray salah. If we pray salah in the right way, salah will be accepted, isn't it? Hajj, if we do hajj in the right way, it will be accepted. So in the same way, Allah Ta'ala says that all your life is worship. So what's the tariqah? What's the method? We haven't thought, so who shall we ask? Imagine how much loss we are earning. How much loss we are earning. We haven't even thought that every second is ibadah. That sit down and eat is ibadah. Going to sleep is ibadah. Going to work is ibadah. Yes? Oh, I'm doing this, X, Y, Z. But the mu'min says, no. He doesn't say I'm going to sleep. He says I'm doing ibadah. I'm going to do the worship of sleeping. I'm sitting to eat. I'm worshipping and eating. What a big difference in the thoughts process. Do you understand what I'm saying? So will you do this from today? True promise. Otherwise we're wasting our time. We're wasting our worship. And these actions are such actions of worship that they give very high level reward. So how does all of this become ibadah? How does every... do we have to do wudu for this? Do we have to go to a special place? Do we have to observe a special type of appearance to make this count as ibadah? No. Allah has told us the method. If you want your every second of life to be counted as worship, the method is what? That every single action of your life, do it in accordance to the sunnah of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So if you're going to sleep, don't sleep the way you want. Go in the way that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sleep. So what does that become? Your whole night becomes ibadah. Did it take effort? Did you have to go somewhere? No. You just made it near. Just said, let's wait. I'm going to go on the mattress. I've got to lie down. Think, how did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam go onto his mattress? How did he lie down? Learn the tariqah method. Your whole night ibadah. You're tossing and turning ibadah. Not just this. With the angels you'll be doing ibadah. So will we do this, brothers? Good. Every action in life, drinking water, eating, standing, sitting, walking, looking, every action Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated to us, and the ashiks, the lovers, those who had passion and love for the Prophet sallallahu, who appreciated his imitation, who appreciated copying him and knew what the sunnah was level, they observed every action of life so closely, they observed and brought the sunnahs into their life so much that even today, the Holy Prophet's every single action has arrived to us, has reached to us due to their life. If they didn't have the izzah, the respect and the esteem in the heart of the sunnah. Look at the Sahaba Kram, the noble companions, radiallahu anhum. They recorded that the Prophet, when he would go somewhere, walk somewhere, the Sahaba would go and meet him. Thousands of miles, someone's going from Syria, somebody's going from Medina, somebody's going to Syria or far off lands in the deserts. They're wandering around traveling. Not for the sake of business, they would arrive to a land, far off land, maybe after years, and they'd say, Salam, why have you come? You come from so far. The other companion would ask, he said, I heard that you have got recorded and you've protected a hadith, the saying or a doing of the Holy Prophet, and I've come to hear that from you. Subhanallah. Can anyone imagine this today? Traveling for this purpose. Can anyone imagine that today I'll say, okay, I'm going to learn prayer, but nothing else. Nobody travels to learn salah. The companions, they would leave their home, wife, children, affairs, daily affairs, their business. If I learn one sunnah of the Holy Prophet, my whole life will be successful. Today we cry, this isn't happening, that's not happening, jinns are in our family, our life, I've gone mad, crazy, depression. Why? Why does this happen? We hear about this. We hear, we read, we hear. But don't hear and become dumb. Rather, when you hear, be grateful Allah has taken me to this gathering. Allah, your grace, your mercy, you wanted me to hear this message. Alhamdulillah, you have made us listen. From today, we will do amal in our lives. And those are the people who are successful. Not just listening, speeches, hands are there, sitting, thinking, wondering. No. You have to do amal, Quran, hadith, ahkam ilahi, the orders of Allah. When they arrive to us, reach to us, then understand this is Allah's ni'mah. He sent me here. He's given me His merciful attention that I can make my life better. That I need to change myself from an animal into human being. So if such great learning has come to us today that our whole life can become ibadah. That look, you left home and you came towards the masjid. Tell me that when you left home and you came out of the house, if we do this in the right way, in the way that the Holy Prophet ﷺ has trained us, taught us, we come to the masjid in the sunnah way, then how much thawab will be recorded for us? And we just think, oh, I'm going to pray salah. I'm going to pray namaz. No, I'll get the thawab for praying salah. That's all that's in our minds, isn't it? That's our niyyah. No thing. Salah is secondary now. To get to salah, what about the reward for going to salah? Walking to salah, traveling to salah. Then think how I used to go to salah before. Where did I do wudu? We go and do wudu in the masjid. We used to go to the masjid and do wudu. Here, people, that the house is nearby and they have the miswak in their mouth, hastily running to the masjid. No, when you leave home, leave in such a manner that you're preparing to go to do a massive action. You have water at home, sinks and resources, but you're lazy. We all well do wudu at the masjid. No, this will also come in the questioning. My brothers, don't be displeased with what I'm saying. That the wudu area in the masjid is for people if they come on jamaat or travelers or a guest or by chance someone's wudu is broken. So that's why the wudu area is made in the masjid. But we, why do we live in the vicinity of the masjid and we come and we use the resources, the money of the masjid? When you open the tap of the masjid, you know how much water is spent from the funds? The meter will run, the electricity will be used, the gas meter will run. And we think that we can use the water freely in the masjid? And the electricity and the gas and the utilities. How sad, brothers. This is the house of Allah. Think. You've got a meter at your home and the bill comes and they ask for the payment. So here we come and we use Allah's resources. Then after opening the tap, we don't care how much water is running. For every drop of water run in the tap of the masjid, Allah will ask how to use it. But if you have niyyah, no, I'm not going to use the masjid resources. I'll do the home. How much thawab? The person who is leaving home as if he's going to strive in Allah's way. So will you do this, brothers? Will you do wudu at home before you come to the masjid? Yes, this is what we need to do. Make this your habit. that Allah's home, I'm going to Allah's home, why should I waste Allah's water? This is for the guest. You come from far and a field, and okay, if I break my wudu, if I have a need, if my wudu breaks or your wudu breaks, Allah's given us the ease here, that okay, we're grateful, Allah, we're so grateful to you that you've given us the water here to do wudu. I'll put some money into the charity box. Because Allah, I've done wudu in your home, here, I'll put £2 into the money box. Not that I'll show everyone, oh, here, look, I'm putting £2 in the box, I'm giving charity. No, if you feel inside that I've used Allah's resources in the masjid, whose water is it? Haji Sahab, is it the masjid's water? No, it's Allah's water. So whose water we spent? Allah's water. With the bills, the resources, the electricity, whose have we used? Allah's electricity. So we should feel that. And we should say, Allah, I'm so grateful you give me warm water. I sat on the stool in the masjid, in the wuzu area. I cannot repay your favor, Allah, but this water I've used, the electricity, the gas, the resources, here I put £2 in the money box, in the sadaqah box. And inshallah, that £2 will become £4,000 in the akhirah for you. Will you do this, brothers? Yes, we need to think like this. Our mentality needs to be adapted to think like this. So nothing that we do in our lives should be away from the sunnah practice. Nothing that we do in our lives should be away from the sunnah practice. And we need to also assess that what were the actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to prefer and like during the day. We need to see that every single thing we do, what will we get more reward for? What will we get less reward for? If I pray salah beheaded, will I get more reward? No. If I wear the topi, the cap, I'll get more reward. Isn't it? That more than wearing praying salah beheaded, I'll get reward if I wear the topi, the cap. But if I wear the imamah, the blessed turban, then I'll get 70 times more reward. So now tell me, is there effort in this? How much thawab we are wasting? We're wasting the thawab of 70 jummas on the day of Friday, aren't we? So tomorrow when we stand on the saf, then some say, oh, what ibadah has he done? On the day of judgment, we'll be asked, oh, what ibadah did you? We didn't know. All he had to do is wear the imam on the head. No effort, minimal effort. And look at the maqam, the daraja, the level you will attain. I will say that, give the accounts for your deeds. But we don't realize the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's one hadith I will share with you about our everyday life. Abu Sharir radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and we can ascertain here, assess that this hadith may seem minor to us, but Hazrat Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, great muhaddith, Hazrat Imam Muslim, they both included the subject of this hadith in their kitabs. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Muslim, they narrated this hadith. There must have been some weight behind this statement, isn't it? What a valuable message for the Muslimin that Abu Sharir radiallahu anhu narrates. So imagine the style of how he delivered this hadith to us. The love of the Sahaba. We can see here that how they loved and appreciated and valued the actions of the Prophet. And we are drama, people of drama. Oh, I love the Prophet. I want to do ziyarah. I want to see him in my dream. I want to be close to him. We carry out actions showing off to people that this is not a madhab of words and speech. If we do action, then we'll get something. That if we do something, then Allah will give something. You cannot get rewards from just desires. You have to do something. So look at this hadith, how this sahabi presented this hadith to us. As Abu Sharir radiallahu anhu stated that, he narrated that my two eyes, so imagine the style here. He said, my two eyes have seen and my ears have heard this. Subhanallah. So imagine how authentic this report is, that how much respect how respectfully he is delivering this hadith to us. So how valuable is this message he's given to us? How valuable is this message? He said that, someone says, oh, I heard from the Prophet ﷺ. This is a narration, yes. But he said, my two ears have heard and my eyes have seen. My two ears have heard and my two eyes have seen. And I'm the narrator myself. I'm the witness myself, said this sahabi. So how great a statement. So further he said, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was giving guidance and advice to us. So what was he saying? So just for this, he's swearing, he is promising, he is giving advance notice. So what we realize from this is that when he initiates his hadith with such weight and an introduction, then the message itself must have a lot of weight. He said the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was advising us, he was giving us nasiha, hidayah, guidance. What was the hidayah? That the Holy Prophet ﷺ was given this guidance, and he repeated again, and then he said the words that. So now these are the words to hear. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, we're talking about, brothers, and how he delivered this message to us. Which point? In other words, our life become light upon light. One, the Sahabi is narrating, and then the Holy Prophet ﷺ, how he told us these words. So first he's introducing and saying the importance of that, the guidance that Nabi ﷺ gave, that person who upon Allah and the hereafter has belief, has faith. In other words, the Prophet said that whoever has iman, Whoever has faith, and he's telling us the sign of a person who has iman, the signs of belief. That person who believes in the hereafter, and who believes and has faith in Allah, then he needs to, most definitely, his iman should allow him to, should make him, and definitely will see and ascertain that, does this person have iman? From this action. Tell me now, how important is this for a person of iman, that he should be faithful now, he should be attentive now. If I don't do this action, have I got iman? Will I be counted as a believer in the hereafter? Isn't this the case? This is not a minor hadith, brothers. Not a minor matter. So how great is this message? The Prophet ﷺ said that he who has faith in Allah and the hereafter, then it's necessary for that person. Again, the Prophet ﷺ repeated the statement. Second time. And again, Nabi ﷺ said, he who has belief and faith in the Allah and the hereafter, then what he should do? And now comes the subject. After such an introduction. So if you get the subject, will you do it, brothers? True promise? Oh, you've become a little lazy. Will you promise to implement this? Yes. Why are we afraid? Rahmatullil Alameen never gave us anything hard to implement, mashallah. He never gave us anything as a burden. Everything is easy. So now is coming a sunnah of the Holy Prophet, his tariqah. He said that I like this action, that he who has faith in Allah and the hereafter, then he is necessary for that person. Twice he repeated this, that when your guest comes, then you should respect that guest and you should serve that guest in a nice way. Subhanallah. So when your guest arrives, or when you have a guest in any manner, then you should respect that guest. You should hold him in esteem. You should present him with whatever he needs in a nice way. And you should honor him as a guest. Subhanallah. So the Sahaba Kiram, radiyallahu anhu, the noble companions, they became afraid. The old Prophet that we understand respect and honor for the guest. But how do we fulfill the needs of the guest? Please explain to us. What do you mean by this? So Rasulullah ﷺ stated that fulfilling the need of the guest is that your guest, when he arrives to you, serve him completely as best as possible. And this is where you will be fulfilling the rights of the guest. Your guest, morning and evening and during the night, day and night, you should serve your guest. And day and night serving the guest, how much? For up to three days. 3 days and nights, you have to serve the guest as maximum as possible. And if you do more than that, then by chance, if the guest stays over 3 days, then that's your choice. And that will become your sadaqah. That's not essential for you. It's not optional. So we realized after 3 days, days and nights is sadaqah. But before that, Rasulullah ﷺ told us the reward. And he's told us that, obviously, how much reward there is. But he said that it's essential for us to serve the guests up to that time. So tell me, in the society, this is a very common occurrence. Don't the guest comes to your home, 30 minutes, 2 hours. Don't you present them with tea or cold drinks? All the guests that come to you, your home, your workplace, or somebody comes for the night, what do we do? Oh, tell him I'm not here today. I've gone out somewhere. Don't tell him I'm here. Oh, I can't keep him at home. I've got to go work tomorrow. He's giving me difficulty, too much burden. Because we're in a busy day and age, aren't we? But Rasulullah SAW has told us his sunnah, that this is a great act of, we will earn the mercy of Allah. And this is the sign of iman and belief in the hereafter. Great sunnah. Never frown. Never think negative in your heart. If a guest is coming to your home, then consider that Allah Ta'ala is opening the doors of mercy for you. It's not a burden that's being sent to you. As long as he stays with you, eats with you, drinks in your home, sleeps in your home, uses your glasses and utensils and your teacups, and drinks water from your glasses, you'll speak to him and fulfill his heart's needs. Allah says everything will be included as ibadah, as worship. Subhanallah. And on the day of judgment, Allah will say, the servant will say, Allah, why did you keep this to 3 days as the limit? I could have done more. Allah will say that, look, I didn't want to give you too many burdens, pray tahajjud, ishraq, jash, do this much recitation. Not every man can do optional voluntary actions. But this is the everyday life that guests come every day. Without any effort, without any requests, the guests arrive. And Allah gives the opportunity to earn very high levels. So this is our deen, our way of life. We need to learn the deen. We need to understand the deen. We need to analyze the principles of them. We go to pious people, the friends of Allah. What do we go to their company for? To learn what? Someone's going to learn how to get dreams, how to become a wali, how to see visions, and how to feel emotions, and how to get buzzing. Everyone's thinking like this. But no, this is not the reality of Islam. Our pious predecessors who had khanqas, who had places that the people, the students would come to them. What would they come to learn? They said, we have come to learn the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the khanqa. From you, O my Shaykh, you are the wali Allah. Obviously, if you go to wali, a wali is he who does amal on the sunnah. There's no other criteria. Walking, talking, sitting, speaking, eating, drinking, if it doesn't include the sunnah, how can he be a wali Allah? Impossible. Never. So whenever a student goes to the wali is a walking, talking, speaking teacher, and his lifestyle implements the moral conduct and characteristics of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, there was a great Shaykh, Hazrat Bayazid Bastami rahmatullah alayh, Sayyidul Taifa, great label and title. He wasn't a minor Shaykh. Imagine his maqams, his levels, what a wali Allah was. And he stood up one day. Somebody said, where are you going? He said, I've heard that the wali of Allah has come to our town. I'm going to meet him. He himself was a Shaykh. He said, how do you know? He said, I've realized that there's a Shaykh. He's come to this town. I want to go and meet him. So now, what was in his mind? What was the amal? What was the action in his mind? He traveled. Actually, he was in another town for a few days and nights here to travel. When he arrived there, when he saw that the wali Allah, that he was leaving his home. When he left his home to go to the masjid, then he spat. Which way did he spit? He spat towards the Kaaba, towards the direction of Baytullah. He spat. The so-called wali. And there he did the U-turn as a Bayezid. He said that if he doesn't know the sunnah, when he's broken this sunnah, how can he be the wali Allah? He can never be a wali Allah. I'm wasting my time. I shouldn't waste my time. He did a U-turn and went back towards his town in the same way. So this is the true life, the genuine article, the life of a Muslim is to learn the sunnah, analyze the sunnah, do amal on the sunnah. And this is the biggest mujahid and striving and ilm, the greatest knowledge is to learn the sunnah. Will we do this, brothers? If every day you learn one sunnah etiquette, one sunnah, not learn it, read it, learn and read it because you're going to do it. Like for example, I want to drink water. So let's learn today and practice how to drink water. So we start learning today and you become habitual. Then you learn the second sunnah, then the third sunnah. And such beautiful mercies will come to your life. You'll become an alim, a scholar. Your chest and heart will expand with the ilm, with the knowledge and the barakat of Allah. So today, what sunnah have we learned, my brothers? What sunnah have we learned? Which sunnah have we learned? How to honor the guest. Yes? So now you understand, when your guest arrives, don't frown and sulk and complain. No, be happy like the Sahaba. They used to wait every day. Why isn't a guest coming? Is Allah unhappy with me? There's no guest coming to my house today. Allah's unhappy with me. Imagine their thought process. Imagine the deen and the love they had for Islam. Rasulullah told them a sunnah. They used to wait at their door. No one's come to my house. What's going on? Will I eat on my own today? Oh, most definitely Allah's unhappy with me. He's not sending guests to my house. They did tawbah, repented. They waited for the guests. They thought and they worried. And the guests, even to be a guest, they are adab. Not, oh please make chicken for me, roast chicken, I'm your guest, make pilau rice, you haven't made this dish for me, what kind of honor is this for me? This is not being guest. Also, there's a sunnah of how to be the guest. When you go to someone's house as a guest, have adab. Don't just go there and spread out your articles and I want chicken today and meat tomorrow. Oh, you know, you made chicken 2 days ago, can you make it like that again today? Or can you do me a favor? No, this is against the adab and the comportment of Islam. Learn how to honor the guest and how to be a guest. Learn both of these sunnahs of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. So today we need to see how we should treat the guest, and if we ever become a guest, then how we should be the guest. Don't be at somebody's home as guest for more than 3 days. Don't unroll your quilt and pillow in someone's house for more than 3 days. Don't give him difficulty and burden. If he says tea, no, give me tea and bring coffee as well. One brother came, he said, will you drink something cold or not? He said, no, give me a hot drink and a cold drink. I'll have both. Subhanallah. So is this a guest? Is this a guest? What kind of treatment is this for your fellow Muslim brethren? Give me something cold and hot and I'll take both. Allah will ask us about this as well. Don't be stubborn and greedy. The sunnah is an azeem way of life. It teaches us manners and how to treat each other compassionately, live in society compassionately. Don't ask. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he turned the animals into human beings and individuals. So from today, let's be cautious in life, eating, drinking, walking, talking, meeting. How should it be? In the way of the Holy Prophet, the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah give me the tawfiq and you as well. Ameen.
اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد Allahumma fil lana zunubana wa zulmana wa hazlana wa jaddana wa khatana wa amalana kulla zalibin lana Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azabal qabr wa qina azabal hashr wa qina azabal mizan wa adkhilna jannata ma'al abrar ya aziz ya ghaffar ya rabbul alamin ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الاحياء منهم والاموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.